welcome to episode 8. He said, semi-convinced that he had the number correct this time. I know it was episode 8 of the show. So if we are on the same number of episodes that they've done, then this is episode 8.
Yes.
Okay. So, hometowns, historically my favorite week of the show.
Historically.
Because it's the first time you really get to see how the relationship would function outside of the mansion or the various hotels that they stay in. So, as you've liked to joke several times this season about, oh, that's romance, that's what love is. This is, like, the first time you get to be like, oh, is that romance, is that love? But also, people's families are crazy. And as an amateur anthropologist, I love watching people's families who are crazier than mine. And this consistently provides that. And this week was no exception.
Okay. So wait, who are the dudes who survived?
So we still have 4 people left.
Okay.
Eric.
Sensing patterns guy?
Yes.
Yes.
Brian.
Trouble.
That's correct. Peter.
Not young one.
That's not wrong. And Dean.
The young one.
Yes.
What's Peter's theme?
Most distinguishing feature is still the
gap tooth.
It's the gap tooth.
Okay.
But also, if you're to believe last week's episode, this week's episode, the scenes from next week's episode, or genuinely any way that they're framing it moving forward, Peter's most distinguishing feature is that he might be afraid of commitment because 2 weeks on a reality, or 2 months on a reality show is not enough for him wanting to get down on one knee and propose.
Oh, right. He's the one who told Rachel that if he wasn't feeling it, he would not propose, and then she was upset and shaken by this revelation.
She was 100% shook. That is the order that we went to hometowns on the show as well. So they began in Baltimore, Maryland with Eric. Eric had warned her last week, which I think we talked about, generally speaking, that he came from a rough neighborhood, which it's Baltimore, so that's kind of goes without saying. But he also had never brought a woman home to meet his family.
Okay.
And at 29, that raised several red flags for Rachel. I don't feel like that's a crazy thing. I've read so much online over the last week, or even like recaps and stuff today, where people are like, that's a big thing. I mean, I'm about to turn 27. I've never brought anyone home. But that's like a strategic choice. Like, I don't want... I'm afraid that if I'm not deep in it enough with someone and they meet my family, they may run away. That's less about the girl or my lack of commitment and more just like, families are crazy.
Yeah, they are.
Which is the theme of this episode. Eric's family's kind of great, though. I mean, they probably weren't at one point based on the stories that he told, but they came off very charming in this episode. Every guy decided to take Rachel to do something during the day before they actually, you know, introduced her to their family.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
Eric,
sweet.
Yeah, it's also a good way to actually show what the hometown is for this person in theory, because just going to your parents' house doesn't really speak to who you were or how you function in the town at large. And
right.
And if Rachel's never been there and you're gonna go to 4 different cities around the continental U.S. you might as well make good use of your time. So for Eric, he took her to the basketball court that he played on as a kid.
Aww.
Where he kind of learned both what he wanted to be as a man and what he didn't want to be, because he could see just adjacent to the court, like, where people were selling drugs and, you know, that was the side of the fence that he didn't necessarily want to reside on. And it's nice. It's like a love and basketball moment. We've seen him play basketball already this season on the group date from, like, the second week.
With Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. So it was a little bit redundant, but
it tied in thematically to his hometown.
Yeah, and it also seemed like Rachel was having a real fun time with it, and I think that's sort of what he offers her that the other 3 don't at this point.
Fun.
Yeah, he's just fun to hang out with. It's, like, not complicated. There's complications to each of the other 3 people, Dean being young, Brian being a fuckboy, and Peter being unable to commit. And with Eric, it's just sort of like, hey, let's have a nice time, and then I know you're going to go see other people. Like, that's the function of this, and I don't love that, but I'm going to make the most of the 2 days I have you in my hometown, or however many hours it is. His cousin stops by. His cousin's great, too, because his cousin is like, hey, he got out. So you should be, like, applauding him just for that.
Oh, wow. Is the cousin get out, too, or is the cousin
Cousin still, the cousin still lives there. Mm. And I think that's the moment that sort of for Rachel drives home exactly what Eric was trying to put across. Because he's a guy that smiles a lot. He's constantly smiling and has this really upbeat attitude. So he does a good job masking, I think, the realities of how sort of plagued by crime his life was. And when he gets into the house, he starts to... You start to see, like, his dad was arrested when he was a kid and, like, spent time in prison. Mm-hmm. His mom wasn't particularly loving. And the hometown, like, Let's Meet the Family is actually at his aunt's house. It's not at either of his parents.
Okay.
And the aunt is a published author and speaker and was, like, a real sort of role model for him. She is, like, clearly coming after a TV show. Like, she knew what this franchise was.
She's pitching herself.
She knew 7 million people were going to be watching her live, and she was ready for it. She takes Rachel in that side room immediately after Rachel gets there and be like, sweetheart, how's it been being the first black bachelorette? Like, these are questions that Chris Harrison hasn't been asking all season long.
Give her a talk show.
Yeah. And Rachel and her have this frank discussion about how there's no winning. Because if she picks a black guy, then she just picked a black guy because she felt obligated to do that. And if she picks a white guy, she is turning her back on the black community. So all the things that we've discussed and that have sort of been pervasive in the way Rachel's approached the season, finally being spoken out loud to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's going on, we see Eric talking to his mom, and it's, like, a very awkward conversation. Because that's another main theme of this episode. Every 20-something male to 30-something male has probably a bad relationship with their mother, or an uncomfortable or unhealthy one, on some degree. But with Eric's, it's just that she never really showed a ton of affection, and her rationale for that is that many of the men in his family were coddled by their mothers and never grew to be their own person, so she kept them at an arm's length, which may or may not be true, but it just sort of rings false. Like, when someone goes, I didn't love you for your own good.
Yeah, that's... I don't know.
And he takes that with a smile, presumably because he's heard it before.
Yeah.
And so it's not new news to him.
Probably past the point of, like, letting it hurt.
Yeah. And his relationship, I mean, the conversation with his dad seems way more, I think, grounded and way more realistic, where the dad's like, look, I was a shitty dad. And
is he the one whose parents haven't been in the same place since he was born?
He said they had never been in the same room, but they were for this, so...
Broke that streak.
The bachelorette got them together. Got them in a room.
Healing families, man.
We'll get to their inability to heal families when we get to Dean's hometown. Trust me.
This is the one where Dean was like, I wish you'd met my dad when my mom was still alive or something like that.
His hometown, which is the last one, which not to get out of ourselves, is the textbook, like, reality shows are manipulative. I don't know if you knew that, Alex, but...
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I feel manipulated.
And they did a great job, doing that. Eric's... You know, he has the conversation with his dad, and that's kind of the end of it. He tells Rachel he's falling in love with her as he's putting her back in the car. He also goes on to describe what that means, as if she's unfamiliar with the term love, which
So, like, here's my symptoms of my love?
I care about you. I respect you as a woman. I really worry about your well-being. He makes it clear he knows what love is, so that he may have never, you know, brought a woman home before. But at least in theory.
He's got this love thing on lock.
Yeah. All in all, I'll say that out of the four hometown dates, it was the best. I don't really know why they led with it, because I know that they did not show them in the order that they filmed them.
Okay.
They showed them entirely out of that order.
Sure, so they could pick it and choose the best story and best flow.
And Eric went last out of the four in real life, but first out of the four. And I almost feel like he should have been last. They should have shown it the way that it actually occurred, because if you understood that Rachel went through three really questionable hometown dates before she got to Eric, I think it informs maybe why his was so good. Like, she just wanted to have fun and not deal with, like, the drama that she had dealt with on the other three. But if you're a producer or you're an editor, you probably put it up front because you go, all right, well, the other three are way more drama-filled. Let's just, like, lead with Eric. It's nice. It's fun. And if people miss that section of it because they're tuning in late, cause for whatever reason, they don't miss that much.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Brian's next.
Did they go to Colombia?
They went to Miami.
Oh.
That's where his family lives now.
Okay.
And Rachel's very quick to tell us that Brian is a lot like Miami. In that he's steamy and hot.
Oh, no.
And sometimes speaks Spanish.
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't need that.
I didn't need any of this date. I don't... In case anyone listening has forgotten, Brian will win the show. Just so that we're clear. Brian's winning this. Brian, still not fun for me to watch. Very uncomfortable. His opening line is, "Welcome to Miami."
Viva Miami.
Yes, yes. And I think he thought that was super original, which speaks to...
He hasn't heard the song?
No, I think he's banking that, like, either Rachel hasn't heard the song, or America hasn't heard the song, or if we had, we thought it was kitsch and he was, like, referencing it in, like, a cool way?
Or an ironic one.
I don't think that that was the case, though. I think he just was straight vibing on Will Smith and riding that wave through his hello and through, like, his first, like, tongue-down-her-throat kiss of a series of tongue-down-her-throat kisses.
I mean, Will Smith does have a song for every occasion, so it makes sense that he's the soundtrack to Trouble's Life.
If the producers had played Parents Just Don't Understand over the rest of Brian's hometown date, it would have all been worth it. Because it A, would have fit, and B, would have shown their sense of humor about how awful Brian kind of is.
Oh no, is he mean to his parents?
No, they're just like, I mean... This is a family where he said, "My mom chased my last girlfriend away."
Oh, right out of the country or
yeah,
whatever.
She, like, ran away from a Colombian wedding just to avoid my mother. And as soon as we meet the mother, I'm like, oh, I get it. That makes sense. I also would run away. Rachel, why are you still in that house? They go play dominoes before
get
they...
out.
Yeah. No, that's not too far from it. They play dominoes and go, like, salsa dancing before they actually get to the house. It's mostly just an excuse for... him to show her, and this is condescending in its own way, the real Miami, because she's been to Miami before, but as he explains in Colombian to a fellow domino player, I mean, maybe it's Spanish, I don't know. I think Colombian is a language, no? Is that a language?
No,
great. So he's Spanish. As I said, I was like, that's not right. There's like a dialect of Spanish that's Colombian, but not its own language. So as he explains in Spanish to one of the other domino players, she's been to Miami, but not the real Miami. And that's what this real trip is about.
Is the real Miami his penis?
Honestly, I wish it was. I wish it was, because I think if they had sex, then she could see clearly that he's not the person that she should be marrying. And I speak from experience on that front where, like, you think, oh, this person's great, and then you sleep with them, and all of the magic's gone. You're like, oh, I just really wanted to do that. I've accomplished that. This person's not that great. What else is out there? The fact that Rachel is still engaged almost lends credence to the people who tell me I'm wrong, and that she's not engaged to Brian. Because if she's had sex with whoever wins... which presumably she has, it's been months, like, and that person's Brian, and they're still engaged, that's shocking to me. Like, utterly shocking. Because I don't know what else they have in common other than they're both in their 30s, and they want to have sex with each other. That seems to be the main two things that they share in common
the
with
driving
each other.
Factor. I mean, they share going on this reality TV show.
That's also true. So three things. I'm struggling to find four or five. So let's go to Brian's house, where his mom is a crazy person who drinks a lot of booze and says things that I would be genuinely scared to bring a woman home if this was my mother.
No.
I get why the young lady ran away from Colombia. Brian says up front, oh, you're going to meet my mom, you're going to meet my dad. Upon walking to the house, Rachel meets three people. There's another woman there.
Did she ever explain?
No. ABC does not offer a chyron to let us know who this woman is.
What? So what did this woman do?
Oh, she has a heart-to-heart with Rachel. I don't know, is she a sister? Is she a cousin?
That seems very weird. Did she even get a name tag?
No.
So you don't know her name?
I have no idea what her name is.
Okay.
I know that Brian's dad doesn't say a single word. He does not speak to Rachel from what we see. We don't even see him speak to Brian, so he really...
Maybe that's the role of this other woman. She is speaking for the father. So she's the voice of the father.
If she and the father had been in the same room speaking to Rachel and the father had just been sitting next to her saying nothing, that would have made it way cooler. Then I would have been like, okay, is she his, like, translator? Is she a family friend who helps him? Is it like that thing where Mike Posner went on the red carpet and only spoke through another person just to get, like, headlines? So many options.
I'm going to go with that last one.
But in reality, I think the dad just sort of kicked back and knew, like, I'm not the star of this show. I haven't been the star of this rodeo in a long time. Brian, your mom's going to take it from here. And take it she does. She tells Brian that she really worries about him finding love on this reality show because he's been with many women.
Oh no. Did she actually give a number?
She says, look, I know you've been with many women. And he was like, yeah. She goes, like, a lot of women. And he's like, oh. Yes, mom.
Oh, this is very uncomfortable.
And I'm like, does he let her know every time he sleeps with a new woman? Because I would believe it based on the way that it comes across. I would really genuinely believe that at 37 years old, every time Brian sleeps with a new woman, he just shoots his mom a text. Like, hey, I added to the body count tonight. Oh, no. That's how uncomfortably close these two people seem.
You think that she threw him a congrats on the sex party when he lost his virginity?
100%. I believe that wholeheartedly after this.
Okay.
She stresses to Brian that not only does she struggle to believe that he's found love on this reality series, but is he even ready to move on and marry someone? Does he need to do that? Isn't he happy now?
Just be single a little longer. How do you feel?
It's Bates Motel-ish.
But not Vera Farmiga.
No, because if it was Vera Farmiga, at least it'd be, like, nice to look at. This woman looked more like Charo. And she also had the Colombian accent.
Oh. Oh, boy.
When Rachel finally gets to sit down with her, after sitting down with the woman who deserved no Chiron, the mother makes it very clear to her that if you break my heart, if you break my son's heart, I will murder you. That's an actual quote.
Okay.
And
this is real disturbing.
And Rachel laughs. And
she laughs at a lot of things that normal people should be like,
I think she thinks the mom's, like, just joshing.
No.
This mom's not just joshing. This mom has, like, artillery in the back of her car, and she'll drive across the country. She'll go right to Dallas, Miami to Dallas, like that
direct flight.
Like that astronaut who put a diaper on and stopped, and didn't stop. That's this mom. She's strapping up, and she's going right to Miami to Dallas, no days off.
It's diaper time. I'm coming for you.
She also is clear to tell Rachel, but I do think Brian is ready to get married. So at least she doesn't sabotage her son like some of the other mothers or other parents on this show do. I've seen it too many times, and even last night with some of the other, you know, dates, where all you have to do as a parent is lie. If I went on this show and either my mother or father told The Bachelorette, I just don't know if Wes is ready to get married.
Oh, no. You've just ruined his chances.
I would be livid. And so, I would have expected Brian's mom to be like, nope, not ready. Not ready. And she didn't. Which I guess, you know, sets us up for next week when, based on the previews, Brian does not get along with Rachel's family. Because everything's just been going too smoothly up until this point.
Gotta throw a monkey wrench in there.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of a complication. At the end of Brian's hometown date, he reiterates, I love you, again. So
tongue, throat, unhinged jaw.
Correct. He baby birds her.
Oh, that image is so awful.
He probably tasted the leftovers of dessert in the back of her throat.
No, Wes, stop. Oh, unnecessary.
But the good news is Brian didn't have to explain what love meant to him. Actually, you know what? The one other thing worth mentioning from this hometown is that Rachel ran into every individual man's arms upon seeing them.
Like,
someone should do a master cut of,
like,
this.
Like, light music underneath, building up into a crescendo, heart, soft lighting.
But with Brian, she's like, how are you, baby? I haven't seen you. So we're past pretense now of her acting as if he's not light years ahead of everyone else. So it is weird to me that when he says, I love you, she's like, oh, okay, thank you, great. But when a different contestant says, I love you, later in the episode, namely Dean, she reciprocates. But before we get to Dean, which, basically, I'm teasing you the way that ABC did throughout the hour, throughout the hour and a half before we got to Dean. They just wanted to remind you, like, Dean's coming.
Hints of Dean's dad.
Yeah. We gotta go to Peter. So, I don't know if you know this, but Peter may not be ready to get married.
Really? Oh, that shakes me down to my very core.
Also, he's from Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, jeez.
Which we spent a great deal of time in last season of The Bachelor, since that's also where Nick is from.
Okay.
There's only so much to do in Madison, Wisconsin. So rather than try to pretend like there are sights to see at this point, they just say, hey, Peter, why don't you introduce her to your friends?
That sounds like a great idea.
So they go to the local diner, bar, restaurant. It looked like it could be any of those three things. It also
probably all of those things and more.
To meet two of his best friends and their wives.
Okay.
At this juncture, Peter feels the need to say, you know, I have 10 really great friends in Madison, and 8 of them are black.
Oh.
And I cringed.
Yeah.
Primarily because this is the first time this season that Peter said anything where I didn't think, hey, you're a great guy, and you might be better than this show. But also, you're the next Bachelor. Upon hearing that sentence, I just thought, but why? And couldn't you let the two black friends that are there at the diner, bar, restaurant speak for yourself? Like, you didn't have to say, like, I have a lot of black friends. You only invited two to, like, hang out.
He doesn't just have a black friend. He's got at least two, and he claims more.
If you look at his Instagram, it does support the fact that he has 8 great black friends.
Now, exactly 8.
I never thought of Madison, Wisconsin as a community that had that many black people. I really thought that all of Madison probably had 8 black people total. So it's shocking to me. Or maybe Peter collected them like Pokemon. Like maybe he went and found the only 8 black men around his age in the Madison, Wisconsin area and was like, hey, I'm going on The Bachelorette. And I'm going to need 8 black friends to really win this woman over.
Oh.
Regardless.
The entire idea of that is just so cringeworthy.
Regardless, these two men showed up, as did their wives, to let Rachel know, this Peter guy's pretty great. And he's probably ready to get married.
Probably.
We can't say definitely, but we can say probably. Thus begins everyone in Peter's life telling Rachel,
Peter's not ready to get married?
Peter's probably not ready to get married.
Well, cheers to you, Peter.
It's like a family friend torpedo aimed right at his chances of winning this show, but also probably upping his chances of being The Bachelor. Because if there's one thing that this franchise loves, it's a clean-cut narrative of the guy who couldn't open his heart and say I love you and wasn't ready to get married. But after
now,
genuflecting for all of 2 months, realized, hey, I think
this
I'm ready.
This marriage thing.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
I think I'm ready to get married. Sign me up. Find Neil Lane. I need a ring. His friends are fine. But but he even says to them, you know, I haven't known Rachel that long. And when I propose, I only want to do it once. I don't want to propose, have this relationship last for 2 months off of the show, break up, and then have to propose to somebody again. Which is fair. And now we're back to Peter speaking sensibly. We had that one little blip on the road.
We took a small detour to nonsense.
Yes. I would have loved to see Rachel speaking to the two wives, which we never got.
Mm.
That's something where I'm like, why did that get cut? Was it that boring of a conversation? Did they not really have it? They show them in the background at a booth not that far, which also raises a ton of questions. Because I feel like Peter telling his friends that he's not ready to get married or may not be ready to get married is done with an earshot of Rachel. So maybe his family didn't need to torpedo him. Maybe just
he
like
did it himself.
He just did it himself by the sheer proximity to which he delivered this information.
So are you talking about when you say they're in the background, is this one of those TMI situations?
ITM, in the moment.
No, I think I got it right.
Too much information? Okay, I think it's like if you sat at, if your friend said, hey, I'm going on a date, but I don't know this person, so will you come to the diner, bar, restaurant and sit three booths over and make sure that they don't, like, try to carry me over their shoulder and take me home?
So they're having separate dinner dates?
Yes.
That's, why?
But, like,
that's
three,
so weird.
Like, three booths apart.
That's very weird.
Yeah. And you don't get shown the women. You just get shown Peter and his two friends.
Huh. Okay.
Then Peter takes Rachel home to meet his family. And unlike Brian's mother, Peter's mother seems wonderful. But she also is very quick to tell Rachel, I don't think my son's ready to get married. He's probably ready to be in a committed relationship. He's almost certainly ready to explore this off of the series, but I'd be very shocked if the Peter I knew got down on one knee on the
the Peter you know.
Yeah, on the culmination of this and said, hey, let's get married on national television.
So he's cautious and actually looking out for himself in the long run. Cool.
That or he realizes, like everyone else, that Brian's gonna win and he's pivoted at this point and wants to be the bachelor. The cynic in me says it's probably more that, but, you know, he could also be very cautious. It could be both. It might be both. For the sake of next season, I kind of hope it's both. Peter's conversation with his mother involves him saying, I have all these walls up, and I've been waiting for them to come down, but they haven't. Which is a very weird thing to say, because I feel like taking your walls down is a conscious decision. It's not just one day you wake up and you're like, hey, there's no more walls here. It's kind of like you have to build the walls up, you know?
Sometimes walls just disappear as if aliens came in the night and transported them away.
Yeah, I don't think he understands the analogy. I think he's just been told it a bunch of times, so he speaks it as though he understands. But if someone ever sat Peter down, and I'd love to, and be like, Peter, how do you think walls get made in real life? / how do you think the wall in Russia got torn down. No, the wall in Berlin, not Russia. The wall in Berlin. It was partially David Hasselhoff, but it was also partially the physical removing of the wall.
It was mostly David Hasselhoff, though.
What a beautiful man. Also tied to this franchise through the Happily Ever After spinoff.
Okay, that means nothing to me.
6 degrees of Bachelor Nation.
Okay, sure.
Peter's sister has children, and Peter's very good with them, which is also relevant because I think the one thing that saves Peter from being eliminated this week is that Rachel, who deep down really wants to have a kid within the next 18 months to 2 years, is like, oh, he may not be ready to get married.
Gotta be a good dad.
But he could be a good dad. His sister or sister-in-law, I really couldn't tell because, again, they weren't great with the Chirons. The mother of his niece even says, like, yeah, I think he's ready to be a father, but couldn't really confirm that he's ready to get married.
But did she at least try to have tact and pivot around that, or?
Yeah, more than the mom.
Well, no, apparently the mom just gave up the ghost immediately.
But then again, he may have in this diner, restaurant, bar, so.
Right, so, yeah.
It was a boring hometown, and at the end of it, Peter couldn't say, I love you. Which I think is more telling than his unwillingness to necessarily propose at the end of this. Saying I love you to somebody, I've never understood this, okay? Not the concept of saying it, but the trope in television and film of I cannot verbalize the words I love you to a person.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps I'm a borderline sociopath, but I could say...
Go on.
I could say I love you with a straight face to just about anyone in my life, and keep moving, as if nothing happened. And I feel like I could also say it and deliver it with enough gusto that you would believe it, even if I didn't mean it. You don't have to be an actor to do that. There are certain things where I'm like, alright, not a good actor. Brian has probably been saying I love you to women for the last 20 years of his life.
Ever.
Because, as his mom points out, he's been with many, many women.
And he's loved them all.
Yeah, but Peter, come on, man. Like, all you had to say was, hey, I think I'm falling in love with you. That's not even a leap. You could think a lot of things. I thought I was going to have steak for dinner tonight, and then I had chicken. So you see that, like, I think I'm falling in love with you, and then next week you could realize, oh no, it's like, I'm not. He doesn't even give Rachel that, like, branch to climb out on. He's just like, oh, thanks for meeting my family, this was fun. Puts her in the limo, sends her home. Or, in the way that this is edited, sends her to the main event, which is Dean's home.
Right next door.
In Colorado.
Oh, so he's the last one. We're almost done.
Yes.
This is exciting.
This episode moves quick. You know, it moves, there's a briskness to it.
They have a time limit.
I don't remember what Dean did with before he met his family to show Rachel how dysfunctional.
None of that sentence made any sense.
Well, like I said, all of them did an event, you know?
They did an event.
Well, they, you know, went and played basketball, they played dominoes.
Oh. Or they had, like, a central thing.
Yeah. I don't remember what Dean's was, because it doesn't matter. Because this, yeah, you know, it's irrelevant. What you need to know is that Dean's family is horrible.
Oh, no, like, what kind of horrible?
Well, his siblings could be fine. His brother doesn't speak on camera. He's there. Potentially against his will.
Oh no, did he hold up like little SOSs or, you know, flip off the
camera? He looked very uncomfortable. He looked like, you know, the people in the back of those videos are like, please get me out of here. That's kind of like, all he was missing is that sign that you're referencing. whatever they did before they went to the house, which again is so forgettable, that I know that Dean said, hey, this is going to be the first time that my family has ever been under one roof in 8 years. Like, that all my siblings and my dad and everybody has, like, been in the same room. It's also going to be the first time in 2 years that I've spoken to my dad.
I mean, why would you put yourself through this for the sake of a show? Ugh.
So, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, you know, reality shows can be manipulative. And
Wait, what? No. That's a lie.
And manipulate Dean, they did. I don't know why he'd agree to this. I mean, presumably, having not read the contract, if he had to agree to go along with it, and maybe he was banking on his dad saying no, like last season on The Bachelorette, where JoJo went home with Jordan Rogers, and Aaron Rodgers, star of the NFL, said, yeah, fuck that, I'm not coming to that dinner. Maybe Dean was thinking, my dad, who I haven't spoken to in 2 years, will be like, no, fuck that, I'm not going to be on national television. But what he failed to understand in that thought process is, oh, his dad was waiting for this moment where he got to go on national television and espouse his nonsense for the world to see.
What brand of woo is he? I'm assuming that he's woo.
I don't know what that means.
Woo is like things that kind of magically heal you.
He's a Sikh.
Well, that's not woo. Wait, he's white.
Yes.
Hmm.
He wears a turban and
and
the full robes. He's taken a new wife who appears to be mute. He may not let her speak.
There seems to be a running theme of this episode of people who don't speak.
Yes. If I learn one thing from all of these hometowns, minus Eric's, is if you have one family member, if you have one parent who speaks a lot, the other one probably doesn't speak at all.
Okay, yes, I can see how that tracks and follows.
I did enjoy Dean explaining to Rachel, he now goes by the name Perumpha.
How do you spell that?
I'm not going to... I didn't take notes this week for the first time since we started doing this.
Well, Wes, how am I supposed to know how you spell Perumpha if you don't take notes?
Rachel, with a straight face, looked at Dean and said, yeah, but what am I supposed to call him?
Oh, Rachel, well played.
That's the right question here. There's no tables at Perumpha's house.
Is he adverse to them? Why?
They sit on the floor, and they eat off mats, and they don't wear shoes, all of which is fine. I mean, I've been to houses like that. But this really feels like a distinct cultural appropriation on his part.
This sounds awful.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch. As much as ABC wants it to be fun to watch, and as much as their editing suggested, like, oh, this is going to be really sort of hysterical, I mostly watched it and felt horrible for Dean.
Cringe humor.
It wasn't even cringe humor, because here's this kid who's 26 years old. I guess he turned 26 during the course of filming. They did change that Chiron, so they nailed that one.
Hey, not all the Chiron people are asleep at the wheel.
He lost his mom when he's 15 years old. He's clearly broken up by that. He moved as far away, you know, as one could from his dad. They haven't spoken in 2 years. And now a reality television show is like, not only should you speak to one another, but you should do it with cameras rolling and a whole nation watching.
And the first time the girl you supposedly, theoretically like gets to see anybody from your home.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't put yourself through this kind of emotional abuse for a TV show.
I would have put my foot down. You know, his sister seems really wonderful. Rachel and his sister have a conversation, and the sister's like, look, I don't have a great relationship with my dad. It's not nearly as bad as Dean's. But I think it's because Dean was the youngest when our mom passed away, so he got the brunt of what it meant to, like, live in the house without her there.
Oh, that sounds real tough.
The older brother didn't. I didn't necessarily. He did. And he doesn't live in the city, so he's not as obligated. Rachel actually has the audacity to ask Dean, you know, why haven't you spoken to your father in 2 years, as if it's his thing? And to his credit, he looks at her like, that's not my responsibility. He didn't want to talk to me when I lived in the same city. He didn't want to talk to me when I lived in the same house. When I decided to do neither of those things anymore, I'm not the one that's going to be making those phone calls. You know, and he could have... He could have called me if he wanted to extend an olive branch, and he never did. But because this is the Bachelorette,
where people come to find love.
We put the two of them in a room together to find out, can they mend those fences by themselves without a table, lying on pillows on a floor on a mat?
No, the dad thinks he's a sheik.
Yes. Well, no, he is. He has a degree to prove it.
Is he a black belt?
I don't know. Because I don't know what any of these things mean. I know he has a very tacky painting of what looks like a real sheik hanging on the wall of his house. Oh. And I know that whatever religious beliefs he now claims to espouse to conveniently allow him to say the sentence, well, in my religion, if you are upset with somebody about something, that means that you're really upset with yourself about that thing.
Oh, what a load of bullshit.
So, if you think that I handled your mother's death poorly...
That means you
handled it. And that I wasn't there for you, what that really means is that you handled it poorly and you weren't there for me.
That's so foul.
It's...
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you can't really watch that and think, oh, this is funny.
No, that's just horrendous. That's gaslighting.
And... Dean pretty much starts to cry at this point, so if it was already hard to find this funny, when a grown fucking man starts to cry because his father has embarrassed him on national television and refuses to accept any fault in the lack of child rearing that he actively participated in, where do you go from there? Well, if you're the father... You say, we have nothing left to speak about because clearly you are not willing to accept your flaws and mistakes, at which point he just walks out of the house.
But by his own argument, doesn't that mean that the father can't accept and acknowledge his own flaws and mistakes?
Oh, no, because he says to Dean, he doesn't believe that either of them have done anything wrong. He said, look, even Dean, when you were a high school student and you were saying to me, like, you're not here for me, or you're not the father I need you to be, I never really thought we had any kind of rift between us. I just thought most of that was in your head. And...
What a dick!
And I still think now that I have no problem with you. The reason we haven't spoken in 2 years is because you have a problem with me. So...
Punch him in the face!
Oh,
what a horrendous, skeevy human being. That's... Oh, I... Whoa.
And at this juncture, Rachel comes in to console Dean, who is crying, and he's like, look, I'm really sorry about this, but I want you to know that I do love you, and I'm, like, doing this because I love you.
The proper response there is, you really don't have to do things like this to prove you love me.
Unfortunately, her response is, I'm falling in love with you, too.
Oh, no, honey, no. Oh, she's gonna break this poor boy.
And I think in her mind, she thought that was the most kind or civil response. But much like last week, where she told Matt, if we met outside of the show, I think we'd be a great couple. All it does is sort of set Dean up for failure.
Yeah. That poor boy.
Then someone told Rachel, you should go try to talk to the dad.
Oh, you should absolutely not try and do that.
Because we didn't come all the way out here for you to not talk to this man.
Oh.
And goddammit, she tries. But it's kind of like, I don't remember the name of the song, but you know like in the old-timey videos where people are running around a couch?
The Benny Hill?
Yeah. If, much like if ABC had played Parents Just Don't Understand over Brian's portion, if they had played Benny Hill over Rachel borderline chasing Paroomfa around the fire pit outside while he tries to avoid having an adult conversation.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
It would have been great. And so if anyone's listening to this and wants to do a supercut of either of those things, please send them to me.
We will watch them
over
and over and over again.
He then decides to be even more dismissive than he's already been.
Of everybody, or specifically?
Of Rachel, and of Rachel and Dean, and of Dean, and of the show. And
why is he here then? Why did he agree to it?
To be on television.
Oh, right. We led with that.
Because people will Google him.
Right. He's evangelical in that way.
And he is teaching classes in Colorado, which you can go pay for.
Of course. Everybody wants a white dude to teach them the secrets of the Eastern world.
But there are enough people that watch this show who will go do that. I would imagine, oh, by the way, Dean has a fan club now.
What do they call themselves? Is a good name?
The Deany Babies.
Okay, I'll allow it. 90s cultural reference, you got me.
He's changed his handle on Instagram to @DeanyBaby. Like, he's
riding
on
that train.
Board.
Go for it,
Dean. He now has the most followers of any of the men from this season by a vast margin. So he's activated people.
He knows his power.
Yeah. But the dad, like, kind of says to Rachel, I bless this. I bless this union. I bless this relationship, you know.
Well, thanks, Dad.
And she's like, yeah, but you need to mend your relationship with Dean. You need to talk to Dean. Like, it's great that you support this relationship, but you can't really support it if you don't support him. And he's just like, I support him just fine. But he doesn't want to have a conversation. I don't want to have a conversation. And that's what our relationship's going to be. If one day this develops into something and you want to come back here, you're always welcome in my house, as is he. But I don't need to put on a front and pretend...
Or care.
Yeah, essentially, that's what he's saying. I don't need to pretend to care or admit any sort of fault in this because I did nothing wrong.
He's awful.
Yeah.
He's so terrible.
And I really do wonder if the reason that the brother never speaks is because the brother would have aired the dad the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, I do wonder if they filmed him speaking and they just decided, like, we can't use this.
just too much anger.
Because there's really only two ways to go with it. I mean, the sister feels like a weird anomaly where she sort of removes herself from the narrative. Like, even when she's talking about it, it's more like somebody who's watching it, not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you either retreat into yourself and become very, you know, self-conscious and sort of self-effacing the way Dean has, or you get really angry. And I do wonder if that's where the brother went, and that's... Mm-hmm. But he showed up. So then... The question becomes, because again, this is the first time in 8 years they've all been under the same roof, if the brother did it as like a service to Dean, like, I'll do this for you because you really do want to marry this woman,
mm-hmm.
or you think you might want to marry this woman. And then I want to see his like interview even more, because he seems like a pretty decent brother then. Because he didn't want the screen time, unlike the dad. He just wanted to do that for Dean and then get out of the house.
So there's three siblings?
Yes.
Sister,
brother,
and
Dean.
Dean,
yeah.
And Dean Sanders. Okay.
At least I think so. I think that's what it was. Again, there's no Chiron, so it's the Wild West on this week's episode.
And no one's mentioned someone who refuses to be in the same place as the dad.
Yeah.
So.
Where do you go after Rachel tells you that she loves you?
In Madison, Wisconsin, to eat cheese.
Well, it's in Aspen, Colorado.
Oh. Was Madison the last place?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that we had moved. I don't think you told me that.
I think I did. But regardless, I meant more in a transition sense. Where do you go? And the answer is home. Because at the rose ceremony, after telling him that she was falling in love with him, Rachel soundly eliminated Dean.
Oh, no, that's so mean.
So.
Oh, poor Dean. Oh, was he crushed? Little baby heart pulverized.
I think he saw it coming.
Okay.
I think he knew that.
He wasn't going to win.
Yeah, I mean, the ceremony was weird. Chris Harrison showed back up. He was really excited to get his paycheck this week. He escorted each man one by one to where they had to stand and shook their hand. And the rose ceremony was also in Dallas, Texas, so that they could have the three remaining men ready to go and meet Rachel's family next week at the top of the episode. But she gave Brian the first rose in news that should shock no one. And then she gave Eric the second rose, so it was between Peter and Dean. And if you're sitting there watching it, I feel like I could go either way. I'm like, well, Peter's thing was boring, and he's not ready to get married.
But boring apparently may be a good benchmark.
Also, he could be a decent dad.
Oh, right.
And I think if you're comparing them, it's like, well, Dean, definitely not ready to be a dad.
No.
Probably not ready to get married.
Probably, according to everybody.
Probably needs to see a therapist.
Yes.
To work out the emotional, you know, issues that he has with his family.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine. Oh.
But he does ask her, and I think you have to, when she eliminates him, why would you tell me that you're falling in love with me?
Yeah, no, that's bullshit. Oh, that's so mean.
And she really doesn't have an answer for that. So she pauses and then goes, well, I wasn't lying. I was falling in love with you. I just feel like I'm falling in love with the other guys more.
That's such a cop-out answer that I'm pretty sure has been used before.
It's been used all the time. I mean, I will always give Ben Higgins credit because he told Lauren and JoJo, I'm in love with both of you. And he didn't even skirt around it. He didn't be like, he didn't even say, I'm falling in love with you. I'm sort of falling in love with you. I might be falling in love with you. I'm developing feelings for you. He just straight told both of his final two women, yeah, I'm in love with you. And
separately?
Yeah. And when he got asked about that and, like, how unfair that was, he goes, this is not a normal situation. People fall in love with, you know, two people in the real world. That's not unheard of. It's really unfair to those two people, but it's not unheard of. This is not even the real world. This is a situation where you've put me on a show and told me that the whole goal of the show is to fall in love, and I've spent weeks with both of these women in a confined space, so yeah, I've developed feelings for both of them. I think I'm in love with both of them. Now I have to decide, who do I want to get engaged to? Like, who can I not see starting a life without?
The show is so awful.
So he owned that. I don't think Rachel wants to own the reality of that. Mm-hmm. I think she wants to just be like, well, I was falling in love with you, but not to the degree that I was falling in love with these other people. And maybe she should have said, I should not have said that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she didn't own up to. She should have looked at him and said, yes, I said it. Yes, in the moment I was getting swept up. Yes, we were lying on a rug in Perumfus, like, house.
You did not tell me these details.
And you were weeping, and I thought that was the nice way to comfort you.
Oh, poor boy. Sweet summer child.
Rest assured, though, it was announced this morning, Dean will be joining the season of Bachelor in Paradise.
Congratulations, Wes.
To have a second chance at love. I'm going to call it right now. In fact, I called it on Twitter last night. Dean will be the male lead of Bachelor in Paradise this season. They have built him to the perfect narrative up until this point.
He's injured at this point.
Yeah, he's a wounded puppy. And there's a lot of very attractive women in Paradise who like puppies. So
as noted by that one time, a stray dog did not accidentally wander into the shot.
I love that you remember this, because that is one of the best moments of Bachelor in Paradise Season 3. Yeah, so good for him. He'll probably find someone more age-appropriate and equally broken. To start a life with there.
Too true, Wes.
And next week, we get to see who does and does not get along with Rachel's family. Oh. It seems like Brian definitely doesn't. Will this impede Brian from winning the show? No. No. No, it won't.
But didn't she say family was really important to her?
Yes, but I think her desire to have sex with Brian's higher. Although, here's the thing.
Does she need familial approval in order to have sex with Brian? Because that sounds like there's another family you told me about.
Brian's family. That's the other family. She might have to ask her mom, Brian's mom, for a permission slip.
Oh, man. Also for permission, like, hey, I would like to give you grandchildren.
I want to live in a dream world, which I know is not realistic, where Rachel and Brian have sex in the fantasy suites. And she immediately realizes, like, oh, no, I should not marry this man. And then chooses Eric. Because of the three men left, and who, I wouldn't have said this. You know, I didn't have Eric in my final four. 4 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I didn't think Eric was going to be in the final four. But now I'm like, oh, these three men that are left, that's probably the best choice. Peter doesn't want to marry you. Brian is still a fuckboy, and his family's crazy. You sent Dean home. You got Eric. That's what you got, you know?
Process of elimination.
But I don't think that will happen. I think Brian will still win. I think Peter will still be the Bachelor. Unless, and here's the wild card, they bring Ben Higgins back for a second season as the Bachelor. And I can see it. And Alex, if they do that, my body's ready. Let's go. Because Lauren has already moved on. My dream couple. I mean.
Wow, they fell apart quick and final.
2 months they've been apart. Part of me thought, they're going to get back together. In fact, I think I said on this podcast last week, never say die. I'm ready to say die now, because Lauren is dating some guy that she met off, I think, the internet, or through friends, on the internet. I don't know. She's been Snapchatting and sending out videos of it.
Maybe on Snapchat.
So, I don't really think that you come back from that and get back to where they were. And Mike Fleiss, the producer of the show, has, like, said, oh, you know, Ben was a pretty great bachelor. Maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea to go back there again. Do I feel like we're maybe going to go back there too soon if it's next season? Yes. So we may get stuck with Peter trying to bring his walls down, figure out how to break those walls down for a season, which...
Well, give him a titanium spork and tell him to have a good time.
I said going to this season, I thought Rachel was going to be a boring bachelorette. I think Peter would be kind of a boring bachelor. I'd still prefer Kenny. If I could have anyone from this season...
Be the bachelor?
As the bachelor, yeah. I'd love that. Like, that'd be great to me. I don't think it'll happen. I think he went home too soon. And I think, honestly, they'd sooner have Eric as the bachelor at this point than Kenny. But I think they'll be hard-pressed to just not go with Peter. So we'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong.
Maybe Peter will win.
Oh, no, I don't believe that. But I would love, oh, my God. Actually, the cynic in me would love nothing more than for Peter to win and then refuse to propose to her. And it's like, girl, you had to see this coming. Like, you had to know that was going to happen. Or alternatively, propose to her and then, like, on the after the final rose, say that, like, you regretted it.
I revoke the proposal and take it back.
Yeah. Not because I wish, you know, ill will on Rachel, but just because that would be hysterical and sort of serve her right to some degree for not listening to the 31-year-old man saying, hey, I don't know if I'm ready to get married. when, like, at least the 26-year-old has the decency to lie. But yeah, that was the episode in a nutshell. We'll see how next week goes. And I think the way that the episode's structured is it's the three guys meeting her parents, and then off to fantasy suites.
So nobody gets eliminated?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. The last week of this is August 4th. So there's still some time left. I don't think they have any weeks off.
How many weeks do we get off?
Before Paradise?
Yeah.
Starts the following week.
God damn it.
Originally, it started the following night, but due to the controversy and the need and the need to push things back, it now starts August 14th. And Paradise airs twice a week.
Oh, no.
Throughout its run. So, 14th and 15th.
How long is back to back. Run?
Until the fall season starts.
No. Why?
Last year, it also had an after show.
We're not doing the after show. Absolutely not.
It looks as if they are not going to do an after show this season, but I'm still holding out hope. They did release the first teaser for Paradise during last night's Bachelorette. The internet, not a fan of the teaser. I'm upset because I gave them the right to use one of my tweets, but due to problems with both our scanner and a ticking clock on Friday, I did not get it in by the allotted time that they needed it to lock their trailer. So in a different world, the trailer that the internet hates would have prominently featured a quote from me.
Which, you know, would have been right in your brand.
Oh, I would have been very happy with that. I think this trailer is fantastic. People think it's insensitive. My response to that is the investigation revealed that no wrongdoing had happened. And Corinne has agreed to come back on the show at this point and talk about how nothing bad really happened. And DeMario is going to be on the Mentel All, which films this weekend for Rachel season, to talk about how nothing bad happened. So at this point, I think we've really all but confirmed in cement that one producer who was not on set at the time of a non-incident decided it was an incident, reported it, and the correct chain of events happened to check to see if she was right in her assessment, only to learn that no, she was wrong in her assessment, because if you're not on set of something and you hear it through a game of telephone, maybe you should look at the footage first before whistleblowing on an entire franchise. Alternatively, and I'm sure people will let me know that they think I'm wrong and that this is all a drastic cover-up, or worse yet, because I had someone tell me this today, they think that ABC staged all of this.
Oh, that's so gross.
I can't imagine a universe in which ABC, Warner Brothers,
Disney,
and the Disney Corporation said, hey, Corinne, can you cry a potential sexual assault for us? Because that'd be great for the brand.
No.
So, but yeah, the reason they don't like the trailer is because the trailer kind of glosses over that. It has a bunch of quotes from people about how sad they were the season's not going to happen, where thunderstorms roll in, and a crab, like, falls over off a table, and then...
What?
And then you see Iggy in all his glory, being more personable than he was in an entire season of The Bachelorette, announcing Paradise is back, with big hand movements.
Back again.
And then a bunch of, like, quick quotes from people, not me, who were very excited that Paradise was back. Oh,
could have been you, Wes.
It could have been me. I think I could, looking at it, I see where my quote would have fit right in. And it would have been very prominently featured.
Piece de la resistance.
I could have gained at least 7 followers on Twitter off of that, you know? Maybe more. Because there's
spoiled again.
There's probably crazy fans of this franchise that went through and started following everyone that was listed there on that trailer.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't put it past people.
So maybe even more than 7. Regardless, Paradise is back on the 14th, and it's going to be fantastic.
Uh-huh.
And on that note, I think we can sign off for the week.
Yeah, it might as well.
As always, I will reiterate that people can follow me.
Wes would love you to follow him.
If I gain 7 followers off of this week's podcast, I will know that at least 7 people listen to this podcast who don't already follow me. And that'd be wonderful. At I am Wesley.
I'm at Alexa.
And until next week.
Our intro music is Lee Rosevere's Biking in the Park. And our outro is Josh Woodward's Already There.